Chapter 1. Knowing God by Experience. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 3. Experiencing God's Protection. One day I was traveling in a minivan with my wife Marilyn and two men on an extremely busy freeway near Washington, D.C. It was rush hour, and the multi-lane expressway was jammed with vehicles as impatient drivers rushed to their destinations. Suddenly, our van swerved to the left and almost collided with an 18-wheeler in the next lane. We all braced ourselves, certain we were about to be crushed by the behemoth. The truck blasted its air horn, and our driver veered back into our lane. But before long, our vehicle again drifted into the busy lane of traffic beside us. We asked the driver if he was okay, and he assured us he was, but his driving became increasingly erratic. Finally, we insisted that he pull over and eventually discovered this dear man was having a stroke. He barely knew what he was doing. It had been a miracle we had not had a serious accident. I had known that God was my protector since I was a little boy, Psalm 41:2 and Psalm 121, verse 7. Yet on that day, I experienced his divine safeguarding. There's a world of difference between knowing something to be true in your head and experiencing the reality in your life. When we finally arrived at our destination that evening, I had a profound, new, experiential understanding of God as my protector. Scripture is filled with descriptions of God's character. You can read these accounts and believe them to be true about God. Yet God does not merely want you to read about him. He wants you to know him. For the Greeks, to know something meant you understood a concept in your mind. It was an academic process. For example, a Greek orphan might grow up and know the concept of a father. He could describe what fathers do and what it looks like to relate to one. He could conduct research and know all the nuances of the Greek word for father. Yet a small child who had a loving father would know much more about fatherhood than the expert who had studied the concept abstractly his entire life. In contrast, for a Hebrew person, like Jesus, knowing something entailed experiencing it. In fact, you could not truly say you knew something unless you had dealt with it personally. The small child who had a father might not understand the various grammatical uses of the word father, but he would know a great deal about what it was like to have one. So it is significant that when Jesus spoke about knowing God, he was speaking as a Hebrew. When Jesus said eternal life is knowing God, including God the Son, Jesus Christ, he did not mean that eternal life is knowing about God. He was not referring to someone who has read many books and attended numerous seminars about God. He was talking about a first-hand experiential knowledge. We come to truly know God as we experience him in and around our lives. Many people have grown up attending church and hearing about God all their lives, but they do not have a personal, dynamic, growing relationship with God. They never hear his voice. They have no idea what God's will is. They do not encounter his love firsthand. They have no sense of divine purpose for their lives. They may know a lot about God, but they don't really know him. Merely knowing about God will leave you unsatisfied. Truly knowing God only comes through experience, as he reveals himself to you through his word and as you relate to him. Throughout the Bible, we can see that God took the initiative to disclose himself to people through their life events. Knowing God through his names. In biblical days, a Hebrew person's name represented his character or described her nature. People's names gave insight into what they were like. Similarly, biblical names, titles, and descriptions of God identify how men and women personally came to know him. The scripture is the record of God's revelation of himself to people. Each of the many names for God represents a different aspect of his nature. The Lord will provide. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18, tells us that God was in the process of developing Abraham's character so he could be the father of a new nation. God put Abraham's faith and obedience to the test by asking him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. This brought Abraham to a crisis of belief. He had to decide what he really believed about God. Until this time, Abraham had known God by experience as God Almighty, for God had miraculously provided him with a son